Scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verse 14. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "Then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently, and if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you."
We are indeed grateful and thankful for everyone who is here on this morning. Hope, pray, and trust that you're doing well. We do want to keep families in our prayers, those who are bereaving, and our hearts go out to you. We ask that the God of grace be with you throughout this time. When we consider the theme for this month, we're talking about the fundamentals of truth. And I had Deuteronomy 13, verse 14 read in your hearing. And I want us to turn to the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. And I want to take notice of something that David's son said in Proverbs 23, verse 23. There the Bible records these words, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." When we consider these words, "buy the truth," we break these words down and it should cause us to have a greater understanding and a greater appreciation for the Word of God. The word "buy" there means to acquire, to possess, to get. The word "truth" is very interesting because when we consider the truth, unfortunately, we live in a time where people are not gravitating to the truth. But the definition from the Hebrew literally means firmness, reliability, truth as a body of ethical or religious knowledge. The phrase "sell it not" literally means to surrender, to cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority, that which is in accordance with fact or reality. The word "wisdom" means skill in war, shrewdness, prudence. The word "instruction" means discipline, correction, restraint. And the word "understanding" in this verse means discernment, ability, and mental power. You put all that together, and Solomon is saying, acquire the truth, acquire reliability, acquire firmness, acquire the truth of a body of ethical and religious knowledge. Don't surrender it. Don't resist it. Be skillful in war. Be shrewd. Be one who is disciplined. Demonstrate restraint. Have discernment. Use your mental power. Friends, I believe I can give the invitation right now. And the reason why is because we live in a time today where many have sold the truth. Many have surrendered to the false enemy. Many are not using skill in war. They're not being disciplined. They're not showing restraint. And they're weak in their minds. When we think about the fundamental reason for truth, the fundamental reason for truth, note, is to manifest, to reveal, to expose that which is hidden. Now, that's very interesting, friends, because when we think about the truth, it actually exposes that which is reality. And truth is reality. We live in a time today where people say, well, that's your truth. But that's a false statement in and of itself. Because you got to have an origin of truth. And the origin of truth is the one who is truth himself, God. When we think about truth, friends, truth is not ambiguous. Meaning that it doesn't have two or more meanings. It's not doubtful. It's not uncertain. It is not susceptible to different interpretations. Friends, did you hear that? Truth never intends to deceive. Friends, when we think about the world that we live in today, we have people who like to mix truth with error. But John would say in 1 John 2 and verse number 21, there is no lie of the truth, which means that you can't mix and mingle truth and error and be right with God and with man, if he's honest. In the book of Deuteronomy, the second given of the law in chapter 13, notice what the Bible here communicates. When we consider, did God give a way to ascertain truth? And the answer is yes, he did. Notice what the Bible says as it relates to a method of acquiring, ascertaining, finding out if something is actually what it is. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, starting at verse number 12, notice what the Bible here says. If you hear someone in your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods. Now, the context is dealing with brethren in the community of the Israelites who were going to be enticing one another to go serve gods that was not the one true God, Jehovah. That's the context. And here, God gives the acquisition on how to obtain the truth. Verse 14, then you shall, notice, inquire. The word inquire literally means to seek with care, to consult, to seek information, to investigate, to study. But notice, search out. The phrase search out literally means to make search, to examine thoroughly, utterly, rigorously, greatly. But then notice what he says, and to ask diligently. To ask diligently literally means showing care and conscientiousness, to be thorough, to do thoroughly, in a satisfactory way, skillfully, exhaustively. Now think about this. Here, God is giving them a way to get to the bottom of things. And so we have to ask ourselves a question, Brother Raphael. Is it possible for us to actually get to the bottom of a situation? The answer to the question is absolutely what? Yes. Now, we live in a time today where we have people telling us, well, there's no way for us to really get to the truth of the matter. But friends, that's false. If the Bible, the Word of God, is a true document, if the Bible is from the very mind of God, if the Bible is a document that we can truly rely upon, then what God tells the children of Israel through Moshe, through Moses, has to be true, that if we ask diligent questions, if we search out the matter, if we're very careful, if we inquire, we can actually get to the bottom of a situation. And so here's the question. Why don't we? Why don't we get to the bottom of situations in life? When we think about the fundamental aspects of truth, it's about exposing what is real. When you look at my skin color is dark in melanin. I'm African American. Some would say black. It's no way that I can pass myself off as Caucasian or Hispanic, because I'm not. The truth of the matter is that you can do enough inquiry to find out what my ethnic group is. You can do enough inquiry to ask to get to the bottom of what type of clothing I'm wearing. How? Through proper questions. And one thing I love about Jesus would ask great questions. Brother Michael Light, who is the preacher and elder at the Bangs congregation in Bangs, Texas, said something magnificent one time we was talking. He said, if you ever want to learn how to ask questions, read about Jesus. Just read about Jesus. And look at how he asked questions and literally got to the bottom of situations, even to the point where people would say they durst not ask him another question. Why? Because he would get to the bottom of the situation. Good parenting literally is asking good questions and listening for the answer of your children. Amen. If you really want to know what's going on in your child's life, you need to ask good questions. Put them in a position where they have to answer the question. You can tell when someone is circumventing, going around, trying to matriculate around the question. Just answer the question. And so here we understand the blessing of truth. Truth fundamentally is foundational. It's essential. It's primary. And it serves for the ground system of the work of God. Friends, did you hear that? If we don't have truth, shut the doors of every church building in the world because you have nothing. And even in the world that we live in today, regardless of your political affiliation, you should always desire that truth come to the forefront. Number one, truth fundamentally is consistent. In John 10 and verse number 35, Jesus would say something very interesting. He would say that the scriptures cannot be broken. Now, that's an interesting concept. Literally, what Jesus is teaching there is that there is no break in the scriptures. If there is a false conclusion in the scriptures, that means that is not congruent, is not in line with the mind of God. This is why we can test every single conclusion with what God's word actually says. The word literally means broken, to dissolve something coherent, logical, consistent, that which is whole. When you think of God's word being consistent, it is coherent. It cannot be broken into parts. This is why you can't piecemeal the word of God. You got to be able to conclude properly in one area, and it has to be coherent and in line with something else. Which means that, friends, we can be consistent. One thing that ought to bother every last one of us is when something or someone is not consistent. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse number 6, notice what the Bible there communicates. In Proverbs 16 and verse number 6, here we see something very interesting. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from iniquity. Friends, when we stop and we consider this, it's through consistency we can have mercy and truth. Through consistency. It's through the fundamentals of God's word that men are saved from their sins. This is why you can't have one person preach one plan of salvation and another person preach another plan of salvation and both plans of salvation, Brother Royce, be right. It's no way that's possible. For this reason, we have to go to the word of God and we get it from the very mouth of Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. But then you ought to have a false teacher come and he'll say that baptism is not essential for salvation. Well, someone's lying. It's either him or Jesus. That's how you settle the matter. And you settle it real quick by getting to the point where you ask questions to get to the bottom of the situation. Friends, these are the fundamentals of truth. But what hinders truth? In Titus chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, notice. And I was pondering this morning, meditating upon this. And as I was meditating upon it, I was thinking and thinking and doing more thinking. And I'm like, you know what? It's so interesting how truthful God really is and that we can really trust him. And you know what God is really teaching us in the Bible, Brother Eric? He's teaching us to trust him. And you know what's so difficult sometimes as a child of God, as a minister, as an elder, as a Christian, as a deacon? You know what's so hard sometimes? It's just taking God at his word and actually trusting him. I'm reminded of when I was a kid and Dad was trying to teach me how to swim. Please don't invite me swimming. Brother Lance, I still can't swim. No, I don't even like getting by water. You know why? This brother might fall up in there. And I've been there before and somebody had to come get me at Camp Hensel. And they came and got me and I fought them all the way. Anyway, that's not even part of the lesson. But it's interesting, my dad said, come on, son, just jump in. I got you. He's in the water. He's standing up in the water. It's no way he's going to let me drown. I'm like, I ain't getting up in there. I ain't jumping. And guess what? I didn't jump.
I didn't trust him like that. But then over a period of time, I did, and I jumped in. And guess what? He would let me wallow in the water. I go down, and he get me. You know, God is trying to teach us to trust him the same way. But we know God is going to come through. What causes us to hinder truth in our lives? In Titus 1, starting at verse number 14, notice what the Bible here says. He talks about these Christians who are always lying. He says, rebuke them sharply, verse number 13, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. The commandments of men, friends, will turn you from the truth. But notice what he says in verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure. And so I was asking myself a question this morning. Mike, how pure are you? How pure is your heart? When you get to a point where everything is not right, something's wrong with your heart. And I had to say, Mike, why is that wrong and that wrong and that wrong? Could it be that you're defiled in your mind? And friends, we have to ask ourselves, if truth is truth and we can rely upon truth and what God says here to him that is defiled, nothing is pure. But even his mind, and notice what Paul says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this is the only time the Apostle Paul uses mind and conscience in the same verse. His mind and conscience are what? Defiled. That's scary. Friends, everybody is not a crook. Everybody's not trying to get over on you. What should never come out of your mouth, Mike, is I don't trust nobody. And I've been there. You have to check your heart. There are actually some good people in this world. This is why we're taking the gospel out to the world and teaching them the fundamentals of the truth. There's some good people at 9th and Main. There's some good people in the Church of Christ. There's some good people in denominationalism. We need to teach them the gospel so they can be saved. Amen. Everybody is not a crook. A whole generation can't be bad. And so here the Bible teaches us very clearly that we can become corrupt in our minds and reject the fundamentals of the truth. Number two, truth fundamentally is connected with righteous character. In Exodus 34, verses 6 through 7, I'm going to read this, but these are the very characteristics of God. You remember when Moses said, show me your glory. And here, God, he puts him into a cleft of the rock. He makes him see his backside, and he declares his name. Oh, friends, it's connected to righteous character. It's connected to mercy and grace, long-suffering goodness, forgiveness and judgment, discernment. And it taught me a lesson. Truth fundamentally is connected to the very fiber of who I am. If not, why not? It's connected to kindness, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 6. It's connected to the word of the Lord and the law of God, Psalm 119, verses 142. Psalm 33 and verse number 4. Notice Psalm 119, 142. In Psalm 119, verse 142, Brother Randy Scott and I was looking at this yesterday and gleaning from it, and we was joying from this particular passage, verse number 142 and 143. There's so much in these passages. But notice what the Bible here says. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Let's put those two together. When you think about God's righteousness, think about his ethical system that he has. The ethical system that he has that cultivates, that maneuvers, that guides thinking, feeling, and acting. The morality of man. Friends, no wonder when we think about the gospel, Brother Brian, it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the very righteousness of God. You can't have God without his righteousness. And no wonder the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 143, trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. Friends, truth is fundamentally connected to the word of the Lord and to the law of our God. It's connected to God himself, for God is true. It's connected to Jesus Christ, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. It's connected to the Holy Spirit, for he himself is the Spirit of truth. Friends, we can trust God. And the very fact that God has given us fundamentals, things that we can build our lives upon, we ought to be grateful to Almighty God, is connected to the Church of Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, Paul, by inspiration, would tell Timothy about waiting. About waiting. He says, but if I tarry long, if I'm taking too long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church. The family of God is the church. But what is one of the responsibilities of the church? It's the pillar and the support of the truth. If anybody ought to stand on the truth, it ought to be the Church of Christ. It ought to be the people of God. It ought to be those of us who know what truth is. Friends, let us never compromise truth. Sometimes I'm so embarrassed with myself when I don't speak up and speak out. Sister Donna said something yesterday. She was at the house, and she said something that I really appreciated. God doesn't want his people not saying anything. But sometimes we can find ourselves just hushing up when we need to be talking and talking when we need to be hushing. Friends, if it's truth, it cannot be defeated. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 8, Paul, by inspiration, would say, for we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Truth will always stand. Truth put Jesus on the cross. I thought sin did. No, truth did. Truth did, friends, because he always, Brother Royce, told people the truth. And guess what they did? They put him on a cross. I bet you if Jesus would have compromised in any way, they would have let him go. Friends, we have to speak up. Truth fundamentally is connected to approaching God. Put these in your notes. Joshua 24, verse 14, John 4, verse 24, and 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 8. And you'll find it very interesting that when we approach God, we approach him in spirit and in truth. You know, they did that under the time of Moses when Joshua was leading the children of Israel across the Jordan. And over this period of time, they have conquered some of the Canaan. And it's interesting that he said to the people of God to serve God in sincerity and in truth. And then when it came to sin, and sin was in the church in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 8, he says, oh, we need to be serving God in sincerity and in truth. Friends, truth fundamentally is connected to approaching God, which means that I can't approach God and be a liar. I can't approach God and be one who is falsifying information. I don't see how some people sleep at night. I saw something in Time magazine. This is embarrassing. Should the people of God sit back and just let falsehood run rampant around them? The answer is no. Somebody has to say something. I told the church last week in San Antonio, and I've said it before, I'll probably be in jail before the year's up. It's probably true. I can't be quiet. I can't be silent. Somebody got to say something. You can't be watching people get mistreated and not say something. That's like you watching one of your children mistreat your other child and you're like, oh, that's okay. No, you don't do that. Whether a person's in Christ or not in Christ, they're made in the image of God. They're important in the sight of God. You'll never look at a face that's not important to God. Can't sit back and say nothing. I'm not going to be passive. Friends, we shouldn't be passive, but we're not being vigilantes. We're just standing up for truth. What's fundamentally right, and what's right is right. It's just like me going to work and going out back, taking a smoke break. But I'm not on break. Friends, that's stealing. Amen. Know why? Because you're not authorized to do that. Smoke nor take that break. Y'all knew I was going to fix that. Friends, sometimes it's the little things that we need to be looking at. And one thing I love about truth, and it's difficult, is paying attention to the details. God is about detail. No wonder I miss so many points that God is making in his word, because Mike Bonner don't want to pay attention to details, and shame on him. Shame on him. Friends, we got to pay attention to the details. Because in the details, you either win the Super Bowl or not win it. That's true. In the details, you either make heaven or won't make it. Brother Mike, what are you saying? Slow down and pay attention to the fundamentals. Because in the fundamentals is really where we win. Number three, truth fundamentally is established by the observation and experimentation of its laws. Romans 1:20. Number two, through the proper interpretation of God's written word. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Number three, through the proper exercise of one's faculties, their mind, Ephesians 5:17, Hebrews 5, verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. Brother Mike, what are you saying? You put all of these things together. Do you know that you can look at creation and you can look at the human body, Psalm 139, verses 1 and following, and know that it has a creator? There's no way you can look at the creation and say, that just showed up. Brother Royce, it didn't. You see, mind. I remember when I learned that even different trees have different DNA. When I learned that, I was wild. Trees have DNA? Yeah. Friends, God thought of everything. And no wonder scientists can take different trees and different herbs and put them together and make certain things that will help the human body. Why? Because God is a God of order. And we ought to appreciate that about truth. Truth is orderly. Number four, truth fundamentally can be known. Jesus said you can know the truth and the truth will make you free. Look at John 17, verses 1, 2, and 3. Here, what is the reason for truth? What is the reason that God wants us to know truth? God did all of this work to reveal truth. He gave us his mind because he is mind. The word took on flesh. They send the Holy Spirit. Why? That we may know truth. Friends, don't let people tell you that you can't really know the truth. You can know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In John 17, the first three verses, notice what Jesus says. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Watch this. And this is eternal life. Jesus, what's eternal life? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You know what people are actually saying when they say you can't know the truth? They're saying you can't know God. Friends, we can know God. And we better know God. And we need to be like God. And so we can know the truth. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Number five, and lastly, truth fundamentally is to be like God. To be like God. And so I asked myself this question. Mike, are you like God? There are some ways I'm not like God. That's embarrassing to say in public, but it's still true. There's work that we have to do. It's amazing, watch this, that I can be working on my spiritual life and still be saved. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a blessing that someone can obey the gospel today and God will wash away their past sins, set them on the road to eternal life? And then you can have someone who's been in the Lord 25 years and 55 years, and they'll receive the same reward if Jesus was to come right now. Isn't that beautiful? How can God do that? Because number one, he's perfect in knowledge. Number two, he desires all men to be saved. Number three, at the point of baptism, that person is like God. They are like God. Truth fundamentally is to be like God. You remember in the garden when Satan, look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. What did the serpent tell Eve? Really, when you stop and you consider, why did Eve fall for this? Maybe she fell for it because, well, just like us, we fall for it. In Genesis 3, starting in verse number 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, watch this, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be what? Like God, knowing good and evil. Hold on. Genesis 1 and verse 26, Brother Brian, they were already like God. Guess what? We're like God. Don't let no one convince you that you're not like God. And one thing we ought to love about who we are spiritual beings blessed to have the flesh surrounding it. Friends, we are spiritual. And so we have to think like God. And truth helps us to think like God. He got her to thinking that she was not like God, but she was. God tells us to be holy. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16, just as he is holy. What does that demonstrate to us? That because of the truth, we can be just like the Creator. Oh, we know that God is perfect in all things, and we know we mess up from time to time, but why would God say, be holy even as I am? Because he knows that we can't attain it. If we really set our mind to it, if we really discipline ourselves, if we really adhere to the coherent word of God, friends, we can actually be like God. For Jesus said, for the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. What does it mean to be like God? To live the abundant life. To live a life that is full of grace and mercy and truth and goodness and discernment and holiness and righteousness. Friends, to be like God is to be truthful. Don't practice lying. If your children are practicing lying right now, stop it real quick. Because if not, they'll become professional liars. They'll be like some of the politicians that we have right now. I'm not being political. I'm just telling you what you see. That's what you see. You see professional and champion liars. Friends, you got some in the pulpit. Sometimes they're in our own home. But friends, we want to be people of truth, even if it costs us stripes on our backs. I would rather receive stripes here than to hear Jesus say, depart from me and receive stripes forever. Friends, truth fundamentally is to be like God. Aristotle would say something very powerful. To achieve the highest good any man could reach is to be like Christ. Aristotle understood that when he said anything done well requires virtue and excellence. Aristotle would go on to say living well consists in activities caused by rational guidance in accordance with virtue and excellence. Even he knew that if I'm going to be like God, I have to found my life on truth. And when I do that, then excellence and virtue will ensue. Therefore, to be like God is to be a follower and student of the truth. Friends, I can't afford to fudge numbers. I can't afford to hide behind the truth. Friends, I got to make sure that I'm staying with the truth. If someone was to ask you, well, I know this might not be ethical, but if you do it this one time, I'll give you a great promotion. You tell them no, because if they ask you once, they got something over your head and you'll have to keep on doing it. Amen. That's right. And so many good people have failed to blackmail because they gave in one time. Don't give in to truth. Don't give in to falsehood. I'm sorry. Make sure you stay with the truth. I leave you with this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and hopefully, This lesson will be the foundation of lessons to come concerning truth. And that it is the foundation that if you remove the truth in a marriage, you have nothing. Because you can't have confidence. You can't have trust. You can't have assurance. You don't even know if he or she is going to come home. If you remove the truth, you can't even have a good business. It can look good on paper, but if you get audited, you'll find out. They'll come get you. If you remove truth, you can't even have a sound mind because it will keep you up at night unless you have defiled your conscience. Friends, it's about the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 2, notice what the Bible here says. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Isn't it fine? Isn't it interesting that God, when he calls us out of sin, he calls us by his glory and by his virtue, which means that if a person it does not want to abide in truth and abide in the glory and in the virtue of God, they can be baptized, but they are not converted. And so here, God calls us by his glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Friends, what is God teaching us? That God has given us precious promises and that God says that I can be a partaker of his divine nature. Let no one tell you, you can't be like God. You can be like God. We must be like God. Oh, and in 2021, it's okay to be like God. I don't have to be someone who's living in sin and play as if I am religious. I can actually be like God and be religious. Notice what he says, verse 5. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Watch this. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. What, Peter? If I can explain it like this, he's saying, just don't do the bare minimum. Really get after it. Really get after your Christianity. Really get after doing what is right. Really get after the truth. Really try to find out who God is so you can live with God in the end. But notice what he says. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. What? Is that true? Do you know that you can be once saved, always saved? Do you know that you can obey the gospel and never leave Christ? That can actually happen. You don't have to worry about falling into the world. You will have a clear path to glory. You know, in basketball, if a person is on a fast break and the opponent runs after him and fouls him, they call that a clear path foul, meaning that they get to take two shots and they get the ball. Last thing we want is someone to obstruct our clear path to glory. And guess what will obstruct a clear path? Falsehood. Falsehood will obstruct a clear path to glory. And if you leave it to the world today, everybody is saved. But friends, only those who are on the clear path to glory, who love the truth, who buys it and won't sell it. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I said all that to say that, friends, the fundamentals of truth are so powerful that if we just apply it to our lives, we can be just like God. But, friends, but you gotta have truth. And parents, you got to teach your children what truth is. And if you compromise on truth while they're young, it's going to be hard for them to overcome that. It'll be hard. So you stay with the truth. And so when they ask you a question, don't you lie to your children. Children, when your parents ask you a question, don't you lie to your parents. I think it was Brother Royce. Brother Royce, was it you that told me your dad said, don't you ever lie to me. You can do anything but lie to me. Is that what you used? It was Royce. And I appreciated that. And I said, you know what? That's so true. When someone lies to you, man, that ought to get under your skin. When you lie to someone, and don't be labeling it talking about it's a little what lie. Don't do that. A lie is still a lie. But truth is always the truth. We have it right here. May God bless you. May God keep you. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be a child of God. And you can only be a child of God based upon truth. And so here's the truth. And you're not going to hear it everywhere, but you'll hear it right here at 9th and Main Church of Christ. You'll hear this. You need to be baptized in order to have your sins washed away. Well, I've been baptized. Well, have you been baptized into the Church of Christ? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13, for by one spirit you're all baptized into one body. That body, Colossians 1 and verse number 18, is the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Well, I was baptized into this. Well, if you was baptized into anything other than the Church of Christ, friends, you're not saved. That's the truth. And so I can circumvent it. I can cover it up. But one day I'm going to meet Jehovah and he's going to say, why did you go around the truth? And I ain't going to have nothing to say. I was a coward, Lord, and I didn't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Friends, we got enough of that going on in the world that we live in today. Well, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to hurt the feelings. I would rather somebody hurt my feelings on this side. Give me an opportunity to make it right than for Jesus to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. Mark, you knew the truth and you didn't say anything to me? I did. That's why we have to be telling people the truth. Don't work with people for years and years and years and don't tell them the truth. We owe it to him. So believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Be willing to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to wash away all of their sins. I'm going to add them to the Church of Christ. I'm going to give them eternal life, which is a gift of the Spirit. And I'm going to say well done on that last day if they're faithful. But if you're a child of God and you've been compromising the truth, well, I mean, I know I didn't tell a whole lie. 1 John 2:21, there's no lie of the truth. Friend, let's tell people the truth. We owe it to people. Truth was on the cross. Truth was in the grave. Truth was raised up from the grave. Truth is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, and one day truth's coming back. Why? Because he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.